Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we do an Ask Me Anything. We are taking your questions that you guys emailed us. So email us right now your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. We want to hear from you. We talk about the China virus. We talk about the Electoral College. We talk about Joe Biden. We talk about Bernie Sanders. We talk about energy. We talk about all sorts of stuff right here on the Charlie Kirk Show. Before we go any further, type in Charlie Kirk Show, hit subscribe, leave us a review, and leave us 5 stars. That helps us more than you can imagine. We will surge in the charts. Thanks to you guys. We got a super show in store for you. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Charlie, let's say you're in charge of the president's coronavirus task force right now. What is your solution? What would you do? That's Katie from Texas.
No, look, that's a great question. I think the president's doing a great job right now. I think you have to have a race to get a vaccine. That's the first thing. I think you should go to Congress and appropriate $100 million to whatever company gets a successful vaccine on the market as quickly as possible. I think you have to demand that pharmaceutical production gets reallocated to the United States immediately. And it's a lesson against China, who has 80% of our pharmaceutical and medical industrial production. Headquartered in China. I think this should be a lesson for all of us. Number three, I would be anti-panic and anti-hysteria. I would hit it. And by the way, I would do 3 press conferences a day on Corona. I would oversaturate the market with good news about Corona, and I would flip the narrative. I would be talking about people that are getting better every single day. So that's what I would do. I would counter message. I would say, and by the way, I want to congratulate Steve from Tennessee, who's now recovered from Corona. I want to congratulate, because we're hearing about all the deaths. We're not hearing about the people that are healing. We're not hearing about the people that are going to pass this. So I would counter message really quickly, and I would oversaturate the media with nothing but good news. If I was President Trump, I would call into these shows, and he's doing a great job, by the way. I'm not offering anything that's insight. But if I was in that position, I would push back against the media so hard, and I would have a list that you would read every single day: Daryl, Connor, Terrell, you go on the list. You name Isaac. Nick, congratulations today. They have successfully recovered from the coronavirus. I think that's awesome. In fact, if I was President Trump, I would tweet out those names every single day and congratulate them. And it does 2 things. It shows a light that, hey, maybe this thing's not as bad as people think. And it also, the media has to cover it. And then I would invite every single person who recovers from the coronavirus, I would invite them to the White House with a picture of the president. And then they'd be posting about it. And by the way, the media would have to cover it. Well, President Trump just met with another 14 people that recovered from the coronavirus today. And here's a picture, a handshake. That's a good 5 minutes use of your time. And psychologically, I think that would counter message. And by the way, all of a sudden, everyone would be like, I recovered. And all of a sudden, but I think, of course, there'd be extents to, there could be limits to all this sort of stuff. But the point being is that you need to give people hope and optimism. I think the president's doing a great job of this. And vaccine is what's going to make this market go up. That's a trigger word, if you will, in the hearts and minds of America. If they think there's a vaccine, they think cure, even though it's not that simple. And I would offer a monetary reward. And I would also fast track the FDA to get that vaccine as quickly as possible. And finally, I would shut off our borders completely to any country that has infected people from the China virus. I know that might be dramatic and drastic, but this is the time to shut down our borders completely and totally. And then I would allocate the billions of dollars in the spending bill that we're putting forth for the coronavirus. I would allocate all of it to building a militarized wall in our southern border with drone technology, with reallocation of military assistance. There's no reason why our Marines and our Army should not be working on the border. I mean, I've always been puzzled why our military bases are in Alabama and Florida. Our military bases should be on our southern border. They should be policing. I've suggested this for many years, by the way. I am like the leading border hawk, I think, in the conservative movement when it comes to a tall wall, quick deportations, and being fierce against illegal immigration. By the way, that's why I sent out that tweet supporting President Donald Trump back in 2011. saying, run, Donald, run, your country needs you. And I think that if we do not secure our borders and if we do not close down our ports of entry, especially to people that have been heavily infected of this, it's a mistake. In fact, I read an article the other day that said the CDC is allowing people, they're not even testing people in our ports of entry for Wuhan or coronavirus, China virus. It's a big mistake. And then finally, I would come up with a punishment schedule for China, whether that is sanctions, whether that is a repatriation period. I would send them an invoice. For $1 billion for every American death. That's what you got to pay China. $1 billion for every American death, payable in U.S. Treasury bonds immediately. And if not, we're sanctioning you. That might sound aggressive, but maybe they'll take it more seriously next time. They are not our friend. China is our enemy. They lie for a living. The Chinese are dishonorable people. By the way, I'm talking about the Chinese Communist Party. There's plenty of people in China that are plenty honorable. But the Japanese are very honorable. So, for example, China and Japan have both made commitments to U.S. energy markets to buy a lot of energy. Japan, despite for a loss, they're fulfilling their commitment, even though they know they're not going to be able to consume all the energy that they're buying from America. China's reneging on it because that's what they do. Anyway, the Chinese Communist Party and their leadership are deceitful. They lie and they steal and they cheat. It's about time we hold them accountable. Next question.
All right. Nancy from Idaho wants to know, when you look throughout history, certain names stand out among world leaders, Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, Napoleon, Churchill, etc. After the end of his time in office, do you think Trump will join that list? Why or why not?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, President Donald Trump will go down as legend status in world history. I mean, President Donald Trump will go down as someone who completely and totally saved the United States of America from managed decline, the billionaire businessman who defeats two political dynasties, goes up against the media. And it's not unfair to say that President Donald Trump has made a lot of other recent presidents look bad. I talk about this in my book, The MAGA Doctrine, where people are saying, man, I don't know what these other presidents have been doing for so long. I mean, he seems like he's running circles around them. And it's true. President Donald Trump has been making fools of the ruling class for some time now. And I mean, you look at the good he has done for the world. Soleimani and Baghdadi are dead. ISIS is basically destroyed. The embassy has been moved to Jerusalem. Golan Heights have been recognized. The president has completely upended this previous globalist world order, and he's turned it back to an America first, nation-centric agenda. And the world's going to be better because of it. And when they study President Donald Trump generations from now, they will be perplexed and puzzled with how he was able to get into leadership, and they'll be blown away with the results he's been able to deliver for our country. Are you guys suffering under student loan debt? Were you lied to by the cartel of the colleges? Well, I want to introduce you to Credible.com. They're an online marketplace that gets you pre-qualified student loan refinancing rates from up to 10 different lenders. Are you guys a little anxious about how you're going to make payments? You got that pit in your stomach? Take a deep breath. I got a solution for you. They help get people out of student loan debt. If you've got student loan debt, you could benefit. They help by refinancing your student loans. With a lower rate, you could save on interest or you could lower your monthly payment, which means more money in your pocket. And with a shorter loan term, you could get debt-free faster. Consolidate all your student loan bills in one place. Gets you a serious peace of mind. Incredible customers have given awesome reviews about how much better their lives have been after refinancing their student loans. On Credible, you see actual pre-qualified rates from up to 10 different lenders, whereas with some other marketplaces, you'll get ranges of rates or ballpark estimates. It only takes a couple minutes to check rates, and checking rates does not impact your credit. And by the way, they never sell your data, so you won't receive spam and phone calls from dozens of lenders. Visit Credible.com/Charlie, that's Credible.com/Charlie, and when you refinance your student loans via Credible, they'll give you a $200 gift card. Fill in a couple pieces of information to check what rates you are eligible for. Again, that's Credible.com/Charlie. Refinance your student loans and start saving.
This is Chadwin from Arizona. With Russian and Saudi Arabia ending their oil production and price cooperation truce, OPEC Plus, why do you think Russia refused to cooperate now of all times when the global economy is struggling so much with the coronavirus?
Look, Russia right now, they see an opportunity. They want to defeat Donald Trump really badly for a variety of different reasons. First of all, President Donald Trump has been harsher against Russia than any other president in modern history. He has applied sanctions, expelled diplomats, armed Ukrainian rebels with lethal weaponry. He has authorized airstrikes against Bashar al-Assad twice in Syria, despite Russia's wishes. And he has also increased America's energy dominance and energy independence, which is a huge part of the MAGA doctrine. I wrote about this in my book, When you're able to own your own assets and own your own energy production, then no one has leverage over you. I mean, you're able to essentially say to Russia and Saudi Arabia, like, we don't need you. We don't need these endless wars in the region. So Russia is doing a very aggressive play against American shale. They're trying to put American oil and gas out of business, and it's not going to work. We hold the cards, not them. This is a short-term play of desperation for Russia to try to flex its medieval muscles, if you will. Their infrastructure is outdated, but they need to do something. This is the only play that they have to try and push back against America's energy dominance and America's capacity to own the world through energy production. And by the way, America right now is the number one producer of oil and natural gas in the entire world. And if you would have said that 10 years ago, people would have been perplexed and stunned. It's because of new technology. It's because of fracking, if you will. And boy, if I was Russia, I'd be spending as much money and as much time as I possibly can to get Bernie Sanders elected as president of the United States. I'm not saying they are. In fact, we have documentation to show they are helping Bernie Sanders. Not necessarily he's receiving the help, but they want to help. But if I was Russia, I'd be spending as much money as I possibly could on this environmentalist, anti-American, anti-energy exploration agenda, because Bernie Sanders' campaign is about keeping it in the ground. In fact, let's play some sound of Bernie Sanders talking about how we need to completely change the way we do energy in America.
I have to say that before we talk about oil production, I think the necessity that we face is transforming our energy system away from oil and fossil fuel to energy efficiency and to sustainable energy. I am not a great fan of more and more oil production. I think we have to transform our energy system. And by the way, I think we are facing a moral imperative, and that is the need to move away from fossil fuel and move to energy efficiency, where my state is doing a pretty good job, and to sustainable energy like wind, solar, geothermal, and biomass.
And that's Senator Sanders' position. That is the new position of the Democrat Party. And Joe Biden is going to overregulate and overtax oil and natural gas producers heavily. President Donald Trump has liberated Midland, Texas and Oklahoma City, and he has liberated the Permian Basin and the Marcellus Shale, and he has the Balkan up in North Dakota. I am a little bit worried that Russia and Saudi Arabia, they're willing to take this thing down to $10 or $12 oil, which is so unbelievably cheap. It'd be a great time to buy airline stocks because airline stocks are at an all-time low right now. But I'm telling you right now, I travel. The planes are as full as I've ever seen them, and their operating costs are going to go down because the price of oil is going down so much. And I think this virus is going to normalize. So I'm not one to give stock advice, but it's just basic economics that when the number one cost driver of something like airlines is oil and fuel, I think it's fair to say that it's going to be a good time to buy. You are seeing a slight dip right now in people buying airline tickets because of the China virus. Again, I think that's going to normalize pretty soon. But you have to understand that the economics of an airline, the most profitable routes for an airline are the international routes by far. They're able to mark those up. That's where their real margins are. So when those start getting canceled, they are going to see some penalization, I guess you can say, and some harsh reality coupled with that. But thanks to President Donald Trump, we are going to see a solution to Russia and Saudi Arabia's war against us in energy. And I think Vladimir Putin deserves some harsh retaliation for what he's trying to do to crash the American oil sector. It's not going to happen anytime soon. But if I was Vladimir Putin, I would be praying and plotting for a President Bernie Sanders. Probably not going to happen anytime soon, but that's the only light at the end of the tunnel. Because if Senator Bernie Sanders kept everything in the ground, if Senator Bernie Sanders says we need to not diversify America's energy or essentially be energy dominant is a better way to word it, well, then Putin wins and the Russians win. And it seems like Senator Sanders, since he honeymooned in Russia, would love nothing more than that. Next question.
In 2016, we saw the total weaponization of the U.S. government against Donald Trump. This continued all the way into 2020. Who's to say that the CDC and the coronavirus response isn't just another branch of the same deep state that weaponized the rest of the government? That's Glenn from Virginia.
Look, I don't want to get into any conspiracy theories, but I will say this, that I was raising the alarm quite early about the China virus. And everyone, you know, kind of in our circle here knows that I was, you know, quite worried about what the China virus could mean for our country and mean for the world. And I don't know, the CDC, I think the lower levels, I don't want to say that they want people to get sick and they want people to be ill, but all I have to say is that 1,000 people died of the swine flu under President Obama back in 2009, and I don't remember it being this catastrophic crisis the way it is right now. And so to be fair, we had a credit crisis, a housing crisis, and a capital crisis. 1,000 people died between a specific time span of 8 months, but over 12,000 people died overall of the swine flu. And no one really, I mean, it was covered, but it was H1N1, is that what it was? And President Obama had a very slow response. So President Trump has mobilized the entire U.S. government to fight back against this. I'm of the school of thought is that we should not look to government to solve our problems, folks. A government is not going to be the solution to our problems. Wash your hands. Be careful who you hug. Just use basic hygiene. Be smart. And also allow private enterprise to come up with a vaccine. They're going to come up with a vaccine very quickly. And entrepreneurs are scrambling like crazy to find the next big business opportunity. I mean, this is what's so beautiful about free enterprise and why that apparatchik left-wing Marxist Fidel Castro sympathizing breadline Bolshevik advocate Bernie Sanders should be thrown into the dustbin of Marxist history, because he says, I think the corona vaccine should be free. Play tape.
Trump's people were saying just a little while ago that, yeah, we're working on a vaccine. Hopefully they are. But this is how crazy it is. We couldn't guarantee that when that vaccine is developed, they couldn't guarantee that people would be able to afford it. I mean, this is how sick the system is. So let me tell you, if elected president, everybody in this country will get that vaccine absolutely free.
Let me tell you why this is a bad idea. Well, if it's going to be free, then what's the incentive then for someone to actually make the vaccine in the first place? What's the incentive then to have the best vaccine for people to purchase it? By the way, there's going to be multiple vaccines out there on the market. You know why people are working weekends right now and why there's entrepreneurs in the medical field all across the world trying to come up with a vaccine? Yes, they do want to help the world. But more honest assessment, they want to get rich. That's why there's medical entrepreneurs all around the world right now trying to find a vaccine for coronavirus, because they know if they come up with a vaccine and they're publicly traded or they're a private company, they will be billionaires overnight. I want the person who comes up with the corona China virus vaccine to be a billionaire. I want them to be rich, because that means they will have helped a lot of people. Now, but that people say, well, Charlie, I don't want them to price gouge. Well, hold on a second. I want them to be fairly compensated. What? How much would you pay for a China virus vaccine? I would personally pay $100 or $150. And guess what? At the breaking point, there would be people pushing back. And they'd say, no, I wouldn't pay that. There'll be multiple out there. This is market economics. We cannot turn our back on market economics. And yes, I do think government plays a role in certain public health crises. I do. However, more times than not, it's people helping people, private enterprise and entrepreneurs that are going to solve these problems. Can we please not forget our conservative principles in times like this? This flight to safety, government is going to solve all our problems. We got to listen to the CDC at all costs. The CDC has lied to us about a lot of stuff, by the way. The CDC is in lockstep with the pharmaceutical companies and the addictive opioid companies that have done so much damage to our country. I'm not saying they're all bad. I'm just saying take some personal responsibility, personal hygiene, and trust liberty. Trust freedom. There is going to be a vaccine. There are going to be solutions. There are going to be entrepreneurs. There are going to be people that come up and say, hey, if you spray this, you're going to have a less likelihood of getting some sort of viral disease or virus. I want that to happen. Don't trust the left. Don't trust the government to solve our problems. Take responsibility for your life. I mean, if you're not washing your hands or using Purell and being like, oh, I'm going to get sick, all this, take some responsibility for your life. You are the master of your own decisions. And guess what? If you get sick, I hope you improve. I hope you get better because of it. But also, don't expect government to bail you out. You can make smarter decisions, and eventually we are going to have a vaccine thanks to free enterprise and entrepreneurs. We have to empower those people, not expect that government is going to solve this issue. With home security, there's ways you can go about protecting your home. There's the traditional way where you wait weeks for a technician to do a messy installation that costs a small fortune. Or there's the other way, SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe is everything you need in a home security system. It's award-winning protection, two-time winner of the CNET Editor's Choice Award. SimpliSafe blankets your entire home in safety. You barely notice it's there. But what's truly remarkable is you can set up the system all by yourself. anyone can do it. It takes 30 minutes, an hour tops, and there's absolutely no trade-offs to your safety. You'll have an army of highly trained security experts ready to dispatch police to your home at a moment's notice, 24/7. It's why The Verge calls SimpliSafe, quote, the best home security system. Check it out today at simplisafe.com/charlie. Get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial at simplisafe.com/charlie. That's simplisafe.com/charlie.
All right, next up. How did we get to this two-person race in the Democrat Party? What are your thoughts on the sudden moderate dropout spree before Super Tuesday? Is there something deeper going on behind the scenes? And that's Miguel from San Diego.
No, there's absolutely something fishy going on in the Democrat Party. I mean, the preposterous idea that Robert Francis O'Rourke, the fake Hispanic Irishman from El Paso, Senator Cory Booker, Spartacus, Senator Kamala Harris, uncharismatic, corrupt, and a liar, and Pete Buttigieg, the failed mayor from South Bend, Indiana, who's never accomplished anything in his life except looking like Alfred E. Newman. I guess he won Iowa, which ended up being not much of a help. Did Mike Bloomberg officially endorse Joe Biden? Did that happen? Mike Bloomberg and also Amy Klobuchar all endorsed Joe Biden. Here's what happened. Senator Bernie Sanders won Nevada. Mike Bloomberg had the worst debate performance in American history, okay? I don't know how he earned $61 billion, but how he ran a board meeting, let alone made $61 billion, is puzzling and perplexing to me. And so the Democrat establishment, aka Barack Obama, because he is part of the Democrat establishment, realized that Bernie Sanders did not embody the vision and the ideas that they wanted at the highest office. Now, mind you, I'm going to push back against something that the media has been saying. The media has been, and some conservatives have been saying, oh, yeah, yeah, they wanted Biden because they knew Bernie couldn't beat Trump. No, 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 no. They did not want Biden because of that. I actually think they know Bernie had a chance against Trump. I actually think they think Bernie had a better chance against Trump. I'll get to that in a sec because I think there's a question about that. But my theory is that it's not that the establishment did not think Bernie could beat Trump, is that they were worried that Bernie could not be controlled. That's what worried them. They were worried that a true socialist rebel would go into the White House. Someone that actually might challenge the status quo of campaign finance. Someone that actually might go after the Democrat billionaire ruling class. Someone that might actually go after the tech companies. Someone that might actually go after Wall Street. Now, I don't agree with all that. I agree with some of it, but not all of it. But that really worried them. And so I could just imagine Barack Obama working the phones and basically calling Pete Buttigieg and calling Amy Klobuchar and saying, hey, you got to endorse quick because we got to turn this thing around. Now, Joe Biden had the most perplexing and puzzling political strategy I've ever seen in American politics, which is lose every single state, get fifth and sixth in Iowa and New Hampshire, tell people not to vote for you, confuse your wife with your sister, confuse what talk show host you're talking to, call constituents pony dog-faced soldiers, confuse when the primary is, confuse who is president, forget the preamble to the Constitution, and eventually you're going to win South Carolina and become the nominee. It's going to go down in the history books as one of the most puzzling political strategies. It seems to be working for him. And in fact, I think we have another question about this, and I want to get to that in a second. And I love your thoughts on this, by the way, guys. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. But I would rather run against Biden than Bernie Sanders. And I think that's the next question, and that's the question we're going to end on.
All right, last question. This is Terrell from Colorado. What do you think a Joe Biden versus Trump race looks like? What do you think about a Trump versus Bernie Sanders race?
I saw that question on the list. I want to end on that. I would much rather run against Joe Biden. I know that's a surprise to people, but let me prove it to you in a couple points. Number one, I would rather run up against someone who is confused and corrupt than someone who is authentic and advocates for free stuff. Much rather run up against the confused, corrupt person than someone who is willing to talk about debt cancellation and someone who is willing to talk about free college and free medical and free healthcare. Number two, I do not want to validate a Bolshevik breadline Fidel Castro sympathist of someone who honeymooned in the Soviet Union. I do not want to validate that in an American political party. I don't want that 14, 15, and 16-year-old who's going to be tuning into their first presidential election ever and watching a convention to see Senator Sanders as a normal politician. There's nothing normal about Senator Bernie Sanders. Honeymooning the Soviet Union, saying nice things about Fidel Castro, and being a committed Bolshevikian Marxist is not something that I think we as a country and we as a party and a movement should tolerate or should think is a good idea. And the third point that I'm going to prove to you, actually there's 4 points, but the third point I'll prove to you. What do you think is more likely? Biden supporters voting for Bernie in the general election or Bernie supporters voting for Biden? I think the Biden supporters would have sucked it up and voted for Bernie Sanders. The same way that moderate Republicans sucked it up and voted for Donald Trump in the 2016 election. The lesson is that people will always vote more for the base if they're moderate, then the base will go and vote for the moderate. And that is why the last boring establishment candidate to win an election was George H.W. Bush in 1988. The rebel, insurgent, energetic candidate almost always wins in a general election. And that is the fourth reason why I would rather run against Bernie Sanders. He has far more energy. He has a far more committed following. He is far harder to beat when it comes to the grassroots, and he draws bigger crowds. I, for one, believe in base politics. I believe in populist energy, and I would rather have President Donald Trump have a political monopoly on drawing big crowds, on energizing the masses, and have Joe Biden show up to libraries and show up to corporate boardrooms and, you know, talk to 8 to 10 people and confuse all their names and talk about how he's going to continue to bow down to China and get his son to sit on foreign boards and someone who's been the most corrupt vice president in American history. I would rather have that than Senator Bernie Sanders, a socialist, a Marxist, a Bolshevik, and a Bradline advocate, draw 20,000 people in Ohio and Donald Trump draws 25,000 people. I don't like that. I don't think that's a good thing for our country. I also think it's very problematic politically, more so than the prognosticators and the experts that have been wrong about everything over the last couple decades would ever lead you to believe. I am so happy that Joe Biden looks like he's going to be the eventual nominee. We will pummel him politically. I will be relentless in my criticism about Hunter. Where's Hunter, by the way? About James, his brother, the corrupt James, who is under federal investigation for many different things, and that just came out recently. Hunter Biden, who sold our country out to the Chinese and sat on the board of Burisma. All that is coming back. I get to dust off the opposition research file that we had on the Bidens that I thought was never going to happen because he finished fifth in Iowa and sixth in New Hampshire or something like that. It was so bad, it was unbelievable. Joe Biden, the conservative movement, has energized the defeat. You're anti-gun, anti-constitution, anti-American, pro-China, pro-family enrichment, Biden crime family agenda. I can't wait to run up against a corrupt, confused, bitter old man who wants nothing more than to destroy the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. I never want to hear again, oh, middle-class Joe, he's such a nice guy. There's nothing nice about selling our country out to China. There's nothing nice about bragging about firing a prosecutor because your son might have been under investigation by that prosecutor. Joe Biden, watch out. The conservative movement is coming for you. We are going to win, and you are going to lose. All right, that's it for today. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Do you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA? Go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Chip in some money. Go to one of our events. Wash your hands. Everything's going to be fine. Be anti-panic, anti-hysteria. Make sure you subscribe to The Charlie Kirk Show. Type in Charlie Kirk Show. Hit that subscribe button. Leave us a 5-star review. Thanks so much, everybody. From the creators of Cold Case Files and PD Stories come the next great true crime podcast. I Survived. Every week, I Survive presents chilling first-person accounts from people who overcame deadly situations, allowing the survivors to describe the events as they unfolded and how they made it out alive. If you love true crime, you are going to love I Survived. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, and many other podcast apps so you can get new episodes every week.